Father, we thank you that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead works in each and every one of us who are your children. I pray right now in Jesus' name that we would acknowledge that we would work in that we would flow in it, that we would acknowledge you in everything that we do, that your power may work in and through us to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. How's everyone here this morning? Good to see you. Are you out there? Hello? 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 Amen. God bless you that are here, for those watching online. Last week, I started talking about running the race, run, and our title was Run to the Father, and the importance for each and every one of us to see that that's the most important race you will ever do is run to your Father, and in a sense, I'm talking about salvation, right? The first thing that you need to do as living on this earth is to run to Jesus for salvation, and he will answer you, right? He'll then run with you for the rest of your life. And the thing is, I've done some running in my life, and I've learned some life lessons from it. First of all, my body doesn't like it. That's the reality of it. I remember those days that I was running on a regular basis. I would run at least 3 to 4 times a week. And in the morning, I would wake up. And let me tell you, the fight began before I even got out of bed. My eyes would open, and I'd look at the clock and say, it's time. And my body would say, no, it's not. Just pretend you never saw the clock. Just roll over. No one will know. You just slept in. But there's some part of me would say, no, you need to get up, right? So then those nice, especially on a day like today, right? Those warm blankets, you take them off you and the cold air hits you. You're like, oh my gosh. And then you swing your legs over. You manage to do that. You hit the cold floor, right? And every part of you is screaming, why are you doing this? Why do you need to do this? No one will ever know. Just go back to bed. It'll be okay. But somehow you manage to get past that. You get your clothes all on, your winter hat, your gloves, your running shoes, everything you need. And then you start stretching. Now for me, that was another screaming moment. On the stairs I would stretch. It was a way to, stretch my, and I'd hear creaks and groans and cracks. And it's like, why am I doing this? Why am I self-torturing? This just can't be right to be doing this. And so I would go through that, and then I'd open the door. You'd think it was going to get better. No, it was even worse. Cold air hits you. Like, what the heck am I doing? Actually, I sometimes said other things. Like, what the? Why am I doing this? And so, but then I'd push through. And then I'd start going. And so the first 20 steps felt like there was concrete on my feet. You clump, clump, clump. And then you kind of begin to get going a little bit. And for me, the run that I did, I ran the Roosevelt Loop. So anybody knows the Roosevelt Loop, it's over in Hyde Park off of Route 9G. From my house to a bridge is about a third of a mile. And so I would begin to run and go. And now here's what would happen to me. I can't speak for the rest of you because maybe you're all in like perfect health condition. I don't know. But for me, here's what would happen. My head would begin to thump. And it would thump in coordination with my heartbeat. You know what I mean? With every pump of my heart, my head would go boom. And so that's how. So I got that happening. My breathing, I'm starting to gasp for air, all right? And so I got my head thumping, I'm gasping for air, my legs are killing me, my calves are hurting, my ankles are hurting, every muscle that can hurt is hurting, and I'm struggling. And so my whole body is out of sync, right? My head's pounding, I can't breathe, I can't run, and every part of me, every cell within me is screaming, stop, you don't have to do this. And I wish I could tell you that every time that happened, that I just kept on going. But there were days where I said, I'll hang this. And I turned around and I walked slowly home. And I went back to bed. I literally, there were some days that I did that. Not many. But then on those most other days, a miracle would happen. I can't describe it other than a miracle. I would cross that bridge. For me, that bridge was like a threshold. I would cross over that bridge, and if I made it to the bridge, I knew I'd be okay. But as I crossed that bridge, all of a sudden, something began to happen. My body began to sync with itself. In other words, my pace lined up with my ability to breathe. My ability to breathe lined up with my heartbeat. And my heartbeat was able to pump enough blood to all the cells and muscles in my body so they could keep functioning. And all of a sudden, I found my rhythm. Some people would say, I found my groove. I just found that place of equilibrium between that oxygen intake and my ability to move forward. And then I could run for hours. But I had to get to that point. For some of you, you've never got to that point, both in the natural or in the spirit. Somewhere along the way, you gave up on life, and you just said, I guess this is my lot in life. I'll walk or I'll run this amount, but I just can't push past. You know, some people would call it the glass ceiling. Some people would call it that closed door. Other people would call it into that different career. You know, there's all kinds of walls or thresholds that we can talk about, both in the natural and in the spirit. But here's what I want to tell you. If this is all you hear this morning in our short time together, never give up. Listen to me. That if that's all you get, three simple words, never give up. Don't do like I did sometimes where I just turned around and went home. Let me tell you, that was a depressing day. It was a depressing day for me because I felt I'd failed myself. And here's the thing. If you've been running with God and something has happened to you then and you've turned back, then I know what you feel like. But more importantly, God knows what you feel like, and he wants to help you to move forward. Let's look at scripture about this because this is biblical. Everything I'm talking about here, even though I've been talking about a natural race, there's also a spiritual race that you and I are running. And the Apostle Paul addresses this in the book of Galatians. He's talking to the church in Galatia. He'd been there. He had talked to them personally. He knew them. But there were some things going on in the church that were disconcerting to him. And he's writing to them about this very thing. So here's what he does in Galatians 5, beginning at verse 7. He says, you are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. I just want to point out a couple of things here as we look at this scripture. First of all, Paul says, you started running well. You know, we accept Jesus into our lives, and man, everything seems going well. In fact, some people refer to it as the honeymoon time. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Where it seems like you could do no wrong. You know, Jesus is in your life. There's a freshness. There's good things happening. But then all of a sudden, the honeymoon's over, and you got to begin to deal with life. And things begin to happen that are disappointments. That all kinds of different things can happen. And so here's what Paul says. He says, who cut in on you? Meaning, it's not just stuff on the inside, it's stuff on the outside. In other words, Paul's saying, look, somebody cut in on your race. And that word cut in means to push back, means to trip, to persuade to go in a different direction. In other words, somehow you got stopped from running the race that you were running well. And for what purpose? So to keep you from obeying the truth. See, here's another point that you can add to your list of why we run the race. We run the race in a quest for truth. What is truth? What is truth? Let me tell you something. Truth is God's word. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so he makes it very clear that truth is important. In fact, the word truth actually means in its original definition, nothing concealed. So here's the Apostle Paul talking about running a natural race. And he's referring to, you know, he was from the Greek area, Roman area. So here's the deal. The Olympics, that's where it started. Do you know how runners ran back then? Naked. Nothing concealed. Everything hanging out, so to speak, all right? And so think about this in the spirit. The idea is that as we run with God, we're not concealing anything. We're not hiding anything from him or from others. But the idea is we're running open-hearted and open-minded before him. That's what God has called us to do. And if we don't do that, that means that we're not running for truth. So that's point two today that you need to remember. Never give up, and you're running for the truth. See, the world has bought into many lies, and we have bought into many lies because we were part of the world. And so part of our race running with the Lord is to begin to differentiate between the deceptions and the lies that we've lived and breathed and thought were true, and sorting them out into what God's word says is true. This is challenging. We live in a culture today where truth is now relevant. That's the term that's being used. Meaning, well, it depends on the circumstances whether it's true or not. Listen, God's word is true no matter what. You can apply it to every circumstance, every situation that's ever happened before the beginning of time, all the way to the end of time. His truth is what? His truth. Nothing concealed. That's why God can never change his mind. Because he always speaks truth, and truth can't be compromised, real truth. So as we look at this, he goes on and says, this kind of persuasion doesn't come from the one who calls you. Who has called you? The Lord Jesus Christ has called you. So this means that this person who's tripped you up, it's not God. So listen, if something has gone wrong in your life, please stop blaming God. He's on your side, all right? You know, blame somebody else. I don't care who you blame, but do not blame the Lord. He is on your side. He is for you and not against you. And so I encourage you right now, if you're in a place where something has gone wrong in your life, put Jesus on your side. In fact, better said, get on his side. He's not going to move, right? He's living in truth, so he can't move. So what we need to move is move out of the lie that God did this and step into his truth, which says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And he'll help you through it. So it goes on and says, this kind of persuasion doesn't come from the one who calls you. And then he says this, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. What does that mean? Here's what it means. It means a little deception, a little lie will in fact affect your whole race of life. Think about that little spot of black paint that you put in a can of white paint. What happens? Affects the whole can. Turns it gray, depending how much black, right? It impacts and affects it. So listen, for you and I, a little deception, a little lie, you know, a little white lie, right? Doesn't hurt anyone. That's a lie, all right? That's a lie about lies, all right? So the point is, what we have to do is walk in absolute truth, nothing concealed. So as I began to pray about this, running in truth, running with the Lord, three key points came to me that will try to stop us from doing this. These are real practical kinds of things. And maybe you haven't considered this. Let me tell you something. There are things out there that want to stop you from running your race well. How many people want to run well, though? Anybody here want to? Yeah. So we all want to run well. So wouldn't it be good to know about some of these things that could trip us up, so to speak? So the first thing I want to talk about is hindrances and sin. Last week, we looked at a scripture that talked about this, and we emphasized certain areas of it, but we didn't talk about this. So let's look at this. It's in Hebrews chapter 12. And so it says that, I'm reading from NIV. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So last week, I made the point that we've been surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We have the examples of people in the Bible. We have examples of people of great faith around us who have lived for truth and walked in truth and been there as a pillar of encouragement to us, right? But then it goes on and says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So there's a couple things that come to mind. It appears then that there are hindrances in our life that are not necessarily sin, but can still slow us down in a race. So let's look at this. Let us throw off everything that hinders. Some versions of the Bible say this, let us throw off any dead weight. I remember back when I started running, I was grossly overweight at the time. Let me tell you something, you try to run being overweight, it's bad. I almost died. Let's just put it that way, all right? Like, you know, it's like putting on a backpack, right? And carrying all that around and not being able to take it off. And literally, that's what this dead weight, this everything that hinders. Here's the thing. There are things that you and I do that aren't necessarily sin. In other words, it's not against the Bible. It doesn't say don't do this in the Bible. Yet it is hindering us. It is slowing us down for what God's called us to do. So I tried to think of some examples, and you know, here's an example in my life. There was a time where Sandra and I were watching a lot of television, and we'd like watching just movies and different things. And the thing is, none of it was, you know, pornographic, none of it was violent, you know, nothing bad in the movies, right? But at the end of a few hours, I remember looking down at my watch one day saying, where did all that time go? What have I done with my life? Like, you know, there's one thing that, you know, to entertain yourself at times, so I'm not anti-TV or anti-Netflix or anything like that. But I realized that we were overdoing it. And it was hindering us in our run with the Lord Jesus. And so we pulled back from that. I said, look, we're not going to do so much of that anymore. We're going to pull back on that. How many people have gone down the rabbit hole of Facebook? You're like, I'm just going to check a couple things, right? And then 4 hours later, you look at your watch, what's happened, right? I've done that. Anyone else here? Anyone honest enough? It is church, by the way. Thank you for your honesty. The rest of you, you need to repent big time, all right? I'm just letting you know. But the reality of it is, so is it sin to do those? No, it's not. It's not contrary. It's not against any particular scripture in the Bible. But the thing is, it's a waste of time, a waste of the greatest resource that God has given each and every one of us, and that's time. Time is really the only thing we can give back to Jesus. He's given us everything else, right? And so we need to realize that in our lives. And so everything that hinders, that dead weight, we need to consider that. And who has to deal with it? Does Jesus? What does it say? It says, let us throw off. In other words, this is something that you and I have to make a decision to do. You know, God does a lot. Can I tell you something? He saves you. He cleanses you. He provides a place in heaven. Doesn't get much better than that, right? But there are a few things. If we want to run well in this life, to be a blessing not only to ourselves and to Him, then there's some things we have to do. And we have to throw off anything that hinders, anything that causes us to slow down in what God has called us to do. And then we move on. It says, and the sin that so easily entangles. Listen, we live in a sin-filled world. It's dark out there. You know, it's not just dark because it's wintertime. You know what I'm saying? It's not dark just because it's cloudy. I'm talking about there is a darkness of sin that pervades this world. And it's so easy to get entangled in it, to get tripped up by it. Why? Because we once lived in that world, completely immersed and ingrained in it, right? And then as we come to Christ, we begin to walk out of that way of life. But let me tell you something. Those old habits, those old lifestyles, those old ways of thinking, they want to entangle you once again and drag you back into its slavery. And the thing is, we have to decide not to let that happen and throw it off. Throw it off. And that's a decision that we make. And how do we do that? Listen to me. I don't want to tell you and make you all get all religious. Oh, I can't do this. Here, let me tell you something. I've had people over the years come to me, and here's what they would say. I have to stop smoking drugs, or I have to stop taking drugs, illegal drugs, to come to Jesus. And I say to them, no. They're like, okay, well, then I have to stop having affairs or fornicating or doing this to come to Jesus. No. I'm spinning some of your heads right now. I know I am. I'm spinning some of your head. You're like, whoa. No, listen to me. If you could fix your life before you came to Jesus, why do you need Jesus? And so I tell that person, no, listen to me. Just come to the truth. Come to Jesus. Come as you are and let Jesus help you walk through some of these things. Obviously, you're asking me about these things. They must be bothering you. But that's between you and Jesus. And so if you need help with this, let's come to Jesus first. Let's get Jesus on the inside of you, and He'll begin to work on the inside. Now, I know some of you religious folk from a religious background, you're like, Listen to me. Get over it. You see, that's why the Apostle Paul was writing to the Galatian church. He was talking to the Judaizers. That's what they were called. There were a group of people who were Jews. They followed the Old Testament customs. They came to Christ, and then they were trying to tell the new Christian church that they had to follow all the laws of the Old Testament, all the traditions, all these different, you had to do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And he's saying, no. He's saying, these people are cutting you off from the goodness and the grace, from the truth of Jesus. Now, am I saying that you should just carry on doing sin in your life? I am not saying that, so please don't leave here thinking that. But what I am telling you, that you've got to let Jesus do the miracle in you. You couldn't fix yourself before. You can't do it after by yourself either. You need Him to change you. Only Jesus can change your life in a permanent way. Now, you can condition yourself. You can make yourself stop doing this or start doing that. But the thing is, has your heart changed at all? See, only Jesus can change your heart. So I'm not soft on sin. Don't let anyone leave here thinking that. Let me tell you something. You need to repent. If you know you're in sin and the Holy Spirit's convicting you on the inside, here's my simple word to you. Repent. Okay, you need to do that. Why? Because it's hindering you from the race that God has set out before you. So you're hurting yourself, you're hurting your family, you're hurting the kingdom of God, and nobody wants to do that, right? You want to run the race well. And you run it. The only way you can run it well is with Him. Amen? Okay, so hindrances and sin, that's the first one. Let me tell you something. One of the other greatest difficulties in life is this. I call them life circumstances. The great disappointments that happen in life. Maybe a broken relationship. Maybe a marriage that has failed. Maybe because of infidelity on the part of the other person. You know, that can wreck you in your race of life. Maybe someone you trusted betrayed that trust in your life. Maybe you were promised a promotion and then your boss ended up promoting this person from nowhere, you know, from below you and went above you. The list can go on and on. A sickness or a death. We just talked about, you know, Billy Ng losing the love of his life just halfway through her life, if you know what I'm saying. Just a young lady. You know, can you listen? That's disappointing. That's enough to cause many people to fall out of the race, to fall to the ground and say, Lord, I just can't get up again. And many of you here have experienced those great disappointments, those faith failures that have happened. Maybe you believe God for something and you really thought you heard from him, and then the whole thing just went and just imploded on itself and it just didn't happen. You know, the list goes on and on of the different possibilities of things that can happen, but life happens, doesn't it? And so the problem with that is, because it happens, that in itself can hinder you and I, because things don't usually go the way we think they're going to. So what does Scripture say about this? In Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says this, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So here's the Lord himself saying, look, don't be dismayed. In other words, when these great disappointments happen, when these faith failures happen, don't give up. Didn't I say that at the start, right? Don't give up, but rather know that God is with you. He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. He'll uphold you. In other words, as you're on the pavement spiritually bleeding and wounded, and you feel like, I can't run another step, if you call out to him, three simple words, help me, Jesus. Can I tell you that that prayer, three words, is one of the most powerful prayers in the entire universe. Listen, I've heard people say flowery prayers, and they go on and on and on and on. And finally, at the end, I'm like, I don't even know what they had to say. But when I hear someone cry out, help me, Jesus, I know exactly what they mean. And let me tell you something. God knows exactly what you mean as well. I encourage you, when you're in need, keep your vocabulary short with Jesus. Because the quicker you're done, the quicker he can act, all right? So help me, Jesus, boom. Then he's right there to help you. Big, long prayer, you could bleed to death by the time you're done. You know what I'm saying? Stop. Just let him do the miracle, all right? Help me. And he's ready. In fact, you could shorten it down to two words, right? Help me. And you know in your heart who you're calling out to. And so he's there with his righteous right hand to help you. No matter how low you've fallen, no matter who's tripped you up, no matter what has happened in your life, he is there. He's a call away. Call out to him. So what is the final hindrance that could keep you? Let me tell you something. Here it is. Satan and his helpers. We live in a world that there is an evil entity that resides here. It's called the prince of the air, the scripture says. Satan, a fallen angel. And he is pure evil. And he has lots of helpers, demonic beings that have fallen from heaven as well. They were fallen angels, became demons, and they are as well. And plus, you get plain evil people. Anybody ever met an evil person? Well, it could be there's an evil demon in them. Maybe, maybe not. But the point is that there is pure evil on this earth trying to hold you back, to trip you up from the race that God has called you to. And so what do you do about that? Well, you have to remind yourself about the truth. It says in 1 John that the one that is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. I'm reminded of a scripture in Isaiah that says this, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, but every word that rises up against you in judgment shall be condemned, for this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. For their righteousness is not of themselves, but of me, saith the Lord. And so the point is, we need to begin to confess God's word in defense to the enemy, to the evil that's in our lives trying to come against us. Let me tell you something, the truth is what sets us free. The truth is what keeps you and I running on the race called life and running well. So let's stand together as we bring this to a close. Maybe you were running well. And in using the words of the Apostle Paul, who cut in on you? Or what cut in on you? What tripped you up? What caused you to fall by the wayside? What caused you to turn back? In fact, one of the words of being cut into actually means to be beat back to where you were at the beginning. That's what it says in the original language. Who caused you to lose your focus on the Lord? For each one of us, it could be something quite different. But I want to ask for some transparency here this morning. Have you been cut off from your race. You were doing well at one point. Something happened. You know, you fill the blank, and maybe a couple of things to fill in there. Maybe a number of life circumstances cause you to step out of the race, at least right now. If that's you, just put your hand up in the air to the Lord. This is just to be transparent before the Lord. I appreciate your honesty. And I know there's some of you lifting up your hands on the inside. God will accept that. But sometimes we just need to be honest and just do this. My hand's up. I've missed it. Gave you some examples already in my life of things that I've missed. You can put your hands down. Here's what I want to promise you. Holy Spirit is here to help you. Let me just read the scripture in closing. John 14, verse 16. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. See, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth lives in you. And as you're running the race, he will help you and guide you onto all truth. That's what he's there for, a built-in personal coach and trainer for you. But you got to call upon him. You've got to say, help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Jesus. Because you, Holy Spirit and Jesus are the same. They're synonymous. And he is there for you today. So just with every head bowed, Lord God, we just thank you for your presence here right now. And I thank you, Lord God, that you've called us to run a race. And you haven't called us to run it alone. Right at the starting line, you placed your Holy Spirit in us so we don't have to run it alone. You're right there with us and you're for us. And if you are for us, who can be against us? Or what can be against us? Nothing, as long as we keep our eyes upon you. So Lord God, for those that have been cut off, those that have been, somebody cut in on them, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that as you reach out your right arm of salvation, your right arm of help, that you would help them up off that spiritual pavement. You'll brush them off and help them get back into the race, running hand in hand with you. Lord God, I thank you that you've called us to run with you, called to run with the Father, with the aid of the Holy Spirit on the inside. So Father, right now, bless each person as they carry on running with you, not in competition with anyone else, because it doesn't matter how quickly we get to the finish line or not. It's that we finish well and that we finish in harmony, in sync with you. Not running ahead of you, not running behind you, but running hand in hand with you. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that that imagery would become so clear to each person here that when they feel like giving up, when they feel like not getting up, that Lord God, they will look at you and say, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Bless each one today, both here physically and those that watched or heard this online. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, go and run well.